Well, hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome back to the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. To talk about democracy in the state of Wisconsin, where we're at, and what's going on. It's another mild, beautiful winter evening here, right downtown Waukesha. You know, tomorrow, President Biden gives the State of the Union address. Tune in, listen to it. Really, really going to be important. But tonight, folks, tonight, I'm honored to have with us the first woman elected to be president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO, Stephanie Bloomingdale. And we are here tonight for the State of Unions in Wisconsin. Good evening.
Good evening, Mark. So really great to be here with you live in your studio in Waukesha for the Paul Revere Show.
It's so nice to have you. I hope we get you back many, many, many more times. You know, for listeners, some of you may not know this, before I was a lawyer, I was a steel worker in East Chicago, Indiana. I worked there for about 8.5 years before my plant was shut down. Now, this was a lifetime ago for most of you. But when I was 21, 22, and I started at Inland Steel, we had a defined benefit plan pension. We had the best health insurance plan in the world. And people thought if you worked really, really hard, you could retire at 55 and have saved enough money to have a cabin and retire with a legitimate middle-class life as a worker. And that was just sort of the expectation. And it is amazing to see, right, half century later, frankly, almost, not quite, that kind of expectation just isn't out there, and that we have such disparity between the mega wealthy and working people. And that story is true in Wisconsin. And I'm hoping, Stephanie, you can tell us, what is the state of unions in Wisconsin, and why unions?
And why unions? And you talk about, Mark, what happened at your plant those years ago. What was the expectations of Americans and what their life should be and ought to be? But somewhere along the line back then, people forgot about the importance of unions. Because the facts are right there in front of us. If you look at for the last 50 years, and if you show a line of income inequality and you track that with union density, they are inverse. So when union density goes up, income inequality goes down. And that means when union density goes up, more Americans have a better middle-class life.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You don't have to convince me.
And so that is so very important. And over those years, we saw CEO pay, well, for one, since 1977, we saw CEO pay go up 399 times. CEO pay actually, CEOs make 399 times more than the typical worker right now, okay? And since 1977, CEO pay has risen 1,490%. So you see the people that were in charge of making these decisions to outsource our jobs, to stop making things in America, and promising us that we would have a better life if we didn't have to make things were absolutely dead wrong. And we told them that in the union movement, but they didn't listen. But we are seeing a change of people's attitudes towards unions right now. And some of this is because of what people went through in the pandemic, what they saw was really important to them and their families. And people are just sick and tired and fed up of working really, really hard at one or two or three jobs, but not being able to get ahead. And so people are realizing that there is clearly a union advantage. In fact, non-union workers earn only 83% of what union workers make. And when it comes to safety on the job, union workers are more likely to come home safe at the end of the day. And so all these things add up to really it's key for workers to have the power and the power in themselves, because that's what a union is. It's when workers turn to each other to build solidarity, to negotiate with their bosses, to make a fair contract for themselves, a contract that they can rely on, not for the next week, but for the entire length of the contract. And that provides security to workers. And that's what we deserve in America. We deserve a healthy middle class and an opportunity for anybody who wants to work hard. And the only way to do that, the only way to do that is to have healthy unions.
Amen. Amen. You don't have to convince me. So, you know, where we're just sort of talking about where we've been, and before we get into where we're at now and what's happening at the street level, Wisconsin was, at one point in time, unions were pretty strong, right? We had Act 10. A lot of people forgot about Act 10, forgot about what it meant. So it's a little over a decade ago. What was that, and what was its impact on union activity in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, Mark, you're right. Wisconsin was such a first for so many things. The first state to have public employees have the right to bargain, the first state to have unemployment insurance, the first state to enact worker compensation, the first state to have kindergarten. Right. And, you know, so we had such a progressive tradition with all of this.
Right. We were the forward state.
We were the forward. That's right. That's right.
And we need to get back to being the forward
state. That's right. And we are doing that. But back, looking back, what happened in 2011 with Governor Scott Walker, he declared war on unions. And the union movement and workers said, no way. No governor has the right to take away our unions. This is an American right to be able to organize our unions. But what happened was we fought back. We didn't win the legislation. They had the numbers in the legislature and the governor's office. And we've suffered because of that. But at the same time, because we didn't just lay back and say, okay, go ahead, we fought back strong. And people remember that as a defining moment in their lives. Even 2 days ago, I spoke with a couple that talk about their kid who was 6 years old at the time and said, Scott Walker is taking money out of my parents' pockets. One was worked as a prison guard, and one worked as a firefighter. And so I talk to young people all the time that said they cut their political teeth on being involved in those Act 10 protests. And so that fight back lives on forever now and will be passed down from generation to generation.
You know, I think what people really forget, part of that was the attack on working people, the attack on unions, was sort of the first step on how they rigged the maps and completely gerrymandered the state. And people forget about that. And I'll always remember the tape by then Governor Walker, right? Divide and conquer. And big corporations in Wisconsin have been so successful in playing this game of divide and conquer. So how has that played out in the last, say, 10 years? You know, in terms of how did the union respond to that, and what steps have they been taking to fight back?
Well, Scott Walker thought that he was caught on tape, and he thought that he could divide and conquer the private sector.
I think I had the quote right. I think so, right?
Oh, you have it exactly right. Exactly right. But that didn't happen. Unions stood together, both public and private sector, and he didn't count on not only unions standing together, union workers standing together, but also working people standing together. and not only in this state, but across the country and indeed across the world. And it really was, I believe, a pivotal point in our labor history, in our history, of working people standing up and saying, you can't just trample all over us. We will fight back and we will stand up because our it's about our future of our kids and our grandkids. And we need to make sure that we're not going to work for just crumbs and having unsafe conditions. We fought hard for all of the things that we have. None of this was given to us. It came with struggle and it came with dedication and blood, sweat, and tears. And yes, we have fallen back somewhat, but we are moving forward to regain everything that was taken from us and to do better for the future for our kids and grandkids.
So if someone's out there, whether you're working at Starbucks or Collectivo or service, or you're working in a small shop, you know, making products, right? I mean, Waukesha has all sorts of businesses that are doing that. What do you do in terms of you're looking for someone to help you get organized? What do you do?
Well, the thing about organizing, it's about you and your coworkers coming together and saying, we're going to stick together because we are stronger together than we are apart. And so workers, if they're interested in organizing, they can certainly call our office and we can send them in the right direction.
Okay, so where is that? Where's your office?
63rd and Bluemound. And they can give a call, 414-771-0700.
We'll give that number again. They can Google you.
Sure. They can find us on the web, Wisconsin AFL-CIO. And we can point them in the right direction. And really, there are a lot of different unions out there that specialize in different areas, whether it be manufacturing or service or industry or, you know, building trades, many different sectors for people to do that. But the first step is really looking at your life and saying, this might be nerve-wracking and it might be scary because we're going to be up against, you know, the boss who would rather not have us have a union. Or do we want to sacrifice and be courageous and move forward to that next step for the betterment of ourselves and our families?
This is Mark Thompson. I'm an attorney. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 WAUK, 540. Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. WAUK, 540 a.m. The Shaw. Tonight, I am here with the first woman president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO, and we are talking about the state of the unions in my great state of Wisconsin. What is the AFL-CIO just generally? I mean, what is that? If you're out there and you've never heard of unions or anything, what is it?
Well, the AFL-CIO is a federation of unions that come together to solidify our power and to have a collective voice when it comes to politics, when it comes to organizing, when it comes to policies that affect us all. So the American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations is our full name, but we have a national organization, and then we have a state federation in every state, and here we have our Wisconsin AFL-CIO. We also have central labor councils throughout the country that bring people together at the local level.
You are the first woman president. You've now been president, what, 2, 3, or is it 4 years?
Since 2018. Mm-hmm. So
5 years coming into five.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you had a long stint working with nurses and healthcare workers in that capacity.
That's right.
And you know, we're talking about, you know, what you can do to get active and organize. So what's the latest in union organizing in the state of Wisconsin? What are the stories?
Well, overall, we are at a really important time in history because, as I said before, union support for Americans is at 71%, and that is the highest it's been in 60 years. So people have a favorable idea of unionization and understand the connection between being in a union and having better pay, better working conditions, and a better life. And of course, the more people that have that, the healthier we have our middle class will be. And so more people, over 53 union petitions to organize were up 53% last year nationwide. And here in Wisconsin, we also saw workers coming together to organize over the last few years. And it's often in places that people wouldn't expect for people to be organizing.
Well, you know, I think people are tired of being just stepped on. I think people are tired of being mistreated and not listened to. That's sort of what I hear when I'm talking to people. So what are some of the stories that you can tell us about organizing? I know that coming from, like, you know, way back when I was young, sometimes when you were trying to organize, you wouldn't want to really talk about it until you had signed up enough people. So, but I don't want to, like, blow anybody's activities, but so let's talk about the stories you can talk about.
Sure, absolutely, because that is right. You know, there are some people that are organized and they need to focus on that before they're going public.
Right, before some corporate lawyer comes in and starts making it hard for them.
Right, and that's the other side of it. Like I said, union petitions are up, but also unfair labor practice violations are up as well. And that means more and more union busters are being hired throughout the country. And that is really hard for workers to go through. And the Protecting the Right to Organize Act would have helped a lot of that by modernizing our labor laws in this country. But unfortunately, that did not happen. And so right here in Wisconsin, we're seeing a lot of very courageous workers stepping up and saying that they want a better life for themselves and their families. We saw one place that you may not expect to be organized is our art museum. So the Machinists Union organized the art museum a couple of years ago. And you can know now when you go to the art museum downtown Milwaukee that those workers there have a voice in their workplace and have a contract. So that was really, we're so proud of them. And as you know, Raven Software in Madison, which is a part of Activision, they do the game Call of Duty. I don't play that, but maybe you do, Mark.
No.
You know,
my grandkids might.
Probably they play that, maybe.
Maybe not. It's a little too adult.
But that's with Activision, and they actually were able to secure with Microsoft, they were able to secure a neutrality agreement for workers throughout the country that wanted to organize. So they were one of the first, and that was very historic. And they're organized with the Communication Workers of America, CWA. So they did that. We also saw that Noble Knights Games in Fitchburg received voluntary recognition recently. And these are also game workers. Now, they have such difficult jobs because they often are required to work around the clock to meet the deadlines of the game producers. And these game workers, these new technology workers coming together. So we're seeing that. We're seeing, as you know, in Milwaukee, and they have shops in Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, Colectivo Coffee. Those workers came together, and they were up against union busters and bosses that were not readily wanting to take their desire to become a union easily. But workers overcame that, and they're organized with the IBW 494, and they organize, and they are, right now, they're in negotiations for their first contract. So when you go into a colectivo, make sure you talk to those workers and give them your support because they're still working on that first contract.
Yeah, folks, when you order it, let them know that you support your union. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am here with the first woman president of Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. And we are talking about the state of unions in Wisconsin. Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here on the Paul Revere Show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. I am delighted to have with us tonight Stephanie Bloomingdale, the first woman president for the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. And we are talking about the state of unions in Wisconsin, why they're important, and organizing. Stephanie, so what else you got to say?
Yeah, we also have workers at Starbucks organizing, and that's part of a nationwide trend. And we have workers that are organizing their Starbucks here in Wisconsin as well. Now, that's a big battle because Starbucks is a big company with lots of money, and they're not making it easy for workers to organize, which is really a shame because the right to organize is a fundamental American right, and employers should allow workers to make their own decisions when it comes to organizing, free of intimidation or coercion.
Yeah, so, or threats.
Absolutely. And all that happens. But another place I wanted to mention was Ingeteam. And Ingeteam is a manufacturer of wind turbines in Menominee Valley. And they've been organized with IBEW 2150 for a couple of years. And they just secured their newest contract, their second contract. Very good contract. And they make, you might be interested to know that this is the only place in the United States that manufactures wind turbine generators. So all the other wind turbine generators come from China or other places. So here in Wisconsin, right here in Milwaukee, they're making these turbines. And how this is impacted by Joe Biden's Jobs and Infrastructure Act is that in that Jobs and Infrastructure Act was also a Buy American provision that the components of the industry need to be made in America. And so what is happening is this company, Ingeteam, is ready to also make electric vehicle chargers. And so that is going to benefit from, they are going to benefit from the stipulations in that bill, which is going to give tax rebates to companies that use American-made parts in their manufacturing.
And hire American workers.
That's
to
right.
To build things again.
That's right. And that's the way that we can rebuild America is by making things here in America, making things here in Wisconsin. You know, we've always been known as the machine shop of the world, and we have the know-how, we have the hard work ethic, and it's so great to see companies like Ingeteam partnering with their union and partnering with their workers to make great products.
You had mentioned President Biden, and he does give the State of the Union tomorrow. What are working people and what are unions looking to from the current administration, and what are they listening for tomorrow night when the president addresses the country?
Well, I think what's on everyone's mind right now is the economy. And jobs, and what kind of jobs are going to be there for themselves and their families. And President Joe Biden really understands that in order to truly build back a strong America, we need to have a strong workforce, and those workers need to be able to have strong unions. And so he has incorporated into his legislation the importance of having highly skilled union workers doing the work. And
you know, I think a lot of people don't understand that. So, you know,
so
help me help us help the audience understand this.
Well, one of the things that with the Infrastructure and Investment and Jobs Act is that that he's got this bold plan to rebuild America. We know that in Wisconsin, the American Association of Engineers have given us a C- in terms of our infrastructure. We can't compete with a C-.
Right.
So we have
roads, bridges,
ports, broadband, all of that. We need to invest in our infrastructure, and that's us all pooling our money together so that we can have a place for industry to thrive. And industry can't thrive if we don't have the basics in place. And so President Biden has made it clear that he wants to rebuild our country's infrastructure for years to come to pave for a better way for industry and our communities. And in doing that, President Biden has said we want to also manufacture the materials that we need for those projects right here at home in America, providing good jobs for people to support their families. And when people have good jobs, they invest it back into the economy. And that creates the circle of growth that we need to see. And for too long, too many politicians have said, well, we can get it a couple cents cheaper if we get it from another country. President Biden is saying, let's rebuild America by putting Americans to work.
What do you hear in terms of around the state, in terms of support for that message? And where, you know, is there a group of employers that are like supporting that and that investment? And what do you see as you go around the state?
As I go around the state, I see new projects being planned, new promise for the money that's coming in from, you know, one of the issues that is clearly important to our infrastructure that maybe people don't think of. They think of bridges, they think of roads, they think of trains, they think of ports, but often they don't think about clean water and the importance of clean water. And so together, our governor, Tony Evers, is also very, very focused on making sure the water that is being consumed in Wisconsin is clean. And that means so there's federal dollars that are being used to replace lead laterals all over the state, and also to combat the issue of PFAS. And this is that forever chemical that is seeping into water systems throughout rural Wisconsin. And Tony Evers has put it in his State of the Union, State of the State the other week, that he really wants to, he is going to be focusing on putting resources into remediating those areas that are contaminated with PFAS. And this is nothing to fool around with. I mean, people that have this are more likely to have pancreatic cancer, testicular cancer, reproductive issues, kidney cancer. This is a deadly chemical that we need to get rid of.
I think that is a very interesting point that you make, that you could share. We are surrounded, you know, we have Lake Superior north, we've got Lake Michigan east on our east coast, we have the Mississippi River on our west coast. So, I mean, we've got a bunch of lakes, right? I mean, we're out here in Waukesha Lake Country, and it is such an asset. How do you see the union movement and union organizing really enhancing that issue?
The issue of, the remediation and the replacing of the lead ladders is done by union workers, union skilled tradespeople doing that work, that know how to do it efficiently, getting the work done on time, and making sure that it lasts. So that's one way that unions are very important. And also, it's the training of people to be able to do this work. And our unions in the state do a terrific job of training young people to become journeymen, to become experts in their field, and really understand and learning all of the skills that they need to do the job right. So when they're hired by a company or even paid for by the government, that we are having very efficient workers that we can rely on and have confidence in the work that's being done.
Going back to President Biden, what other specifics do you see in his proposals that are really geared to working people?
Well, I mean, President Joe Biden has been someone who understands intrinsically the importance of making sure that working people have a leg up. And, you know, not only that, but bringing back manufacturing is very, very important through the CHIPS Act that was passed earlier this year. And
how did that happen? Because I think a lot of listeners didn't really follow that. You know, how did that impact?
Well, you know, the reason for it is because all these semiconductors, they're not made here in America. We use them. We created them. The people that started it, the engineers and the brilliant people that came up with the idea right here in America, but they got the creating of them, the making of them got shipped overseas. So that bill is created to start making these chips here again in the United States.
Bringing all those jobs back here.
That's,
so we're not
right.
dependent on China, for example. Right?
That's right. That's right.
Sent their balloon over spying on us. That's right. So, you know, what else are you looking for in terms of the president's speech tomorrow night to encourage working people?
Well, certainly he needs to give confidence to the American workers that we are forging forward, and investing in America is important for everyone's investing collectively is important for everyone's individual future. So these big projects not only create the jobs for the people that are doing the infrastructure improvement, but also the people that are being able to count on manufacturing coming back or business being created because they can do business in a place where the infrastructure is in place.
Do you see the current national administration under the Biden administration? Do you see on the ground a more welcoming approach to union activity?
Oh, absolutely. You know, really, President Joe Biden is the most pro-union president in decades that we've seen. And he understands that he always says that it's not only important to, it's important to encourage unionization, because that's what the National Labor Relations Act says. It doesn't say we should just have unionization. It says that we should create an environment that encourages unionization. And so he is staying true to his word on that. He has a Secretary of Labor, Marty Walsh, that has been really instrumental in having a positive impact on unionization and creating a whole department for encouraging people to organize and giving them a path towards that. And Marty Walsh is a out of the laborers in Boston. And so we're really pleased to have him there. And so, yeah, I think that working people can count on a lot of good things. I mean, listen, we're in difficult times right now in this country. We're seeing the inflation, you know, high, and we're seeing it difficult for people to get by. But if we can see a path forward together, I think we're going to see, you know, our way out of this.
Often people are like overwhelmed. What do you see is like the hook that really encourages people to say, I'm going to go work with?
Well, I think that, I think that inherently people are hopeful, part of our human nature. You know, we take a look and we see about the bad things that are happening all around us, whether it be, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, it's up to our leaders to inspire us to say, well, let's suspend some of this negativity and look at what we can achieve together. And we can see at every point in American history where we've gone the furthest has often been in the most difficult of times.
Folks, you're listening to the first woman president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO, Stephanie Bloomingdale. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show, WAUK 540 AM 101. Hello, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am here with Stephanie Bloomingdale, the president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. We've been talking about the state of unions in Wisconsin, why they're important, why it makes good sense to join together and fight back and, you know, stop being tread on. I guess that's one way to say it. But my question, Stephanie, is what's the relationship between unions and politics? And is it an important issue for unions and workers?
It absolutely is. And sometimes, you know, I get asked the question, why are unions involved in politics? And, you know, the simple answer is that elections have consequences, and you know, it's what we do in the union movement, and we don't endorse people based on are they a Republican or are they a Democrat, are they blue, are they red? We really delve deep into what policies are they in favor of, and at the end of the day, how is that candidate going to support working people? Is the person going to be better off? Is their paycheck going to be better off? Is their retirement security going to be better off? Are they going to have better safety conditions in the workplace? And those are the issues that we think about when endorsing candidates at any level.
So we have an election coming up February 21st, a primary. We have an election April 4th. Are these elections of concern for unions?
Absolutely. In these spring elections, we have a lot of different races, not only the ones that you mentioned, but also local mayors and county supervisors and school boards all across the state. And our membership, our union members, definitely educate each other about the importance of those races. And, you know, when it comes to the top race, which is the Supreme Court, is really, this is going to be one of the most important races in the entire country that we're going to see.
So why do you say that from union's point of view?
Because we see what happens with the Supreme Court decisions affects working people, whether that be around, you know, we talked about Act 10 before, we talked about those issues. But another issue is the rigging of the maps, the electoral maps. And I know, Mark, you know about this more than anyone, so you can talk about this as well. But these maps are absolutely rigged. We saw in 2008 to 2010, we saw, you know, statewide elections where 50% of the people would vote for a candidate. And we had about 50% that would 50% of our state house, like the assembly and the Senate, would also be kind of split. They would actually be competitive districts. What has happened over these last 10 years is absolutely atrocious and embarrassing worldwide. To see us in Wisconsin be able to elect statewide candidates, 50%, we can vote for Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call and other statewide offices, but yet the assembly has two-thirds of the districts are Republican, and same in the Senate. So it really is shameful what has happened in the state in terms of our democracy. And the Supreme Court matters on this. And right now, I call them anti-democratic Supreme Court justices because they are shamelessly partisan. And it is really unfortunate to see that. But we have the opportunity to turn that around and to make the court fair again in this race for the Supreme Court this spring.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to just put on my hat as a Wisconsin elections commissioner, not speaking as a commissioner, but looking at the world that way. Because you mentioned it. You know, there was a federal court, three judges, if I recall right, a couple of them had been Republican appointees. They had ruled that the maps in Wisconsin were unconstitutional, that it was just rigged and it wasn't fair. And it is really, really problematic. You look around the country or you look around the world and where you can vote 50%, 51%, and never get close to a third of the assembly or the Senate. It's this notion that this is a crucial issue for this court. And for folks, the court is like would be split 3-3, and we have a seat. A person, a judge, a justice, that if elected, really can give us a chance at democracy again. Now, you said there were a couple of that were anti-democratic, right? Who are these folks that are anti-democratic?
The two that are anti-democratic are Daniel Kelly and Jennifer Darrow. Daniel Kelly, we've seen the proof of this. We've seen that, you know, the firm that he works for is working with NLRB cases, National Labor Relations cases against
unions.
So, you know, sometimes you just call that plain old union busting.
Right.
Okay. And then you have Jennifer Darrow. And so, you know, these two are, both were appointed by Governor Scott Walker. So he's got his stamp of approval on these two. And we know what they will do if they got to the Supreme Court. So that's what is so important in this race. And we have two candidates that have a history of supporting fairness and justice and working people. And that's Everett Mitchell and Janet Protasiewicz.
So it sounds like, and I just remember this from my union days, that often my local wouldn't endorse in a primary. And it sounds like from what you're saying right now that the state AFL-CIO hasn't weighed in on who they want right now.
Right now, we're waiting until the primary, and we know that Janet Protasiewicz has a long and distinguished career as a judge, and would make a terrific Supreme Court justice. And Everett Mitchell has also a long-standing, very good background and distinguished career.
Folks, I'm honored to have had the first woman president for the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO here with us tonight talking about the state of unions in Wisconsin. Stephanie, I hope we get you back. For all the listeners out there, think long and hard about who you want to elect on February 21st. Vote union, vote democracy. Thank you so much, Mark Thompson. I'll see you next week.